Enter Lady Hunstanton and Archdeacon Daubeny.
Ah, here you are, dear Lord Illingworth. Well, I suppose you've been telling our young friend Gerald what his new duties are to be, and giving him a great deal of good advice over a pleasant cigarette.
I have been giving him the best of advice, Lady Hunstanton, and the best of cigarettes.
I am so sorry I was not here to listen to you, but I suppose I'm too old now to learn. Except from you, dear Archdeacon, when you were in your nice pulpit. But then I always know what you're going to say, so I don't feel alarmed. Ah, dear Mrs. Arbuthnot, do come and join us. Come, dear. Gerald has been having such a long talk with Lord Illingworth. I'm sure you must feel very much flattered at the pleasant way in which everything has turned out for him. Let us sit down.
They sit.
And how is your beautiful embroidery going on?
I am always at work, Lady Hunstanton.
Mrs. Daubeny embroiders a little too, doesn't she?
She was very deft with her needle once. Quite a Dorcas. But the gout has crippled her fingers a good deal. She has not touched the tambour frame for 9 or 10 years. But she has many other amusements. She is very interested in her own health.
Oh, well, that is always a nice distraction, is it not? Now, what are you talking about, Lord Illingworth? Do tell us.
I was on the point of explaining to Gerald that the world has always laughed at its own tragedies, that being the only way in which it has been able to bear them, and that consequently, whatever the world has treated seriously belongs to the comedy side of things.
Now, I am quite out of my depth. I usually am when Lord Illingworth says anything. And the Humane Society is most careless. They never rescue me. I am left to sink. I have a dim idea, Lord Illingworth, that you are always on the side of the sinners. And I know I always try to be on the side of the saints, but that is as far as I get. And after all, it may be merely the fancy of a drowning person.
The only difference between the saint and the sinner is that every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future.
Oh, that quite does for me. I haven't a word to say. You and I, dear Mrs. Arbuthnot, are behind the age. We can't follow Lord Illingworth. Too much care was taken with our education, I'm afraid. To have been well brought up is a great drawback nowadays. It shuts one out from so much.
I should be sorry to follow Lord Illingworth in any of his opinions.
You are quite right, dear.
Gerald looks irritably over at his mother. Enter Lady Caroline.
Jane, have you seen John anywhere?
You needn't be anxious about him, dear. He's with Lady Stutfield. I saw them some time ago in the yellow drawing room. They seem quite happy together. You're not going, Caroline. Pray sit down.
I think I had better look after John.
Exit Lady Caroline.
It doesn't do to pay men so much attention. And Caroline, really, has nothing to be anxious about. Lady Stutfield is very sympathetic. She is just as sympathetic about one thing as she is about another. A beautiful nature.
Enter Sir John and Mrs. Allenby.
Oh, here is Sir John, and with Mrs. Allenby, too. I suppose it was Mrs. Allenby I saw him with. Sir John, Caroline has been looking everywhere for you.
We have been waiting for her in the music room, dear Lady Hunstanton.
Oh, the music room, of course. I thought it was the yellow drawing room. My memory is getting so defective. Mrs. Daubeny has a wonderful memory, hasn't she?
She used to be quite remarkable for her memory. But since her last attacks, she recalls chiefly the events of her early childhood. But she finds great pleasure in such retrospections. Great pleasure.
Enter Lady Stutfield and Mr. Kelville.
Oh, dear Lady Stutfield. And what has Mr. Kelville been talking to you about?
About bimetallism, as well as I remember.
Bimetallism? Is that quite a nice subject? However, I know people discuss everything very freely nowadays. What did Sir John talk to you about, dear Mrs. Allenby?
About Patagonia.
Really? What a remote topic. But very improving, I have no doubt.
He has been most interesting on the subject of Patagonia. Savages seem to have quite the same views as cultured people on almost all subjects. They are excessively advanced.
What do they do?
Apparently, everything.
Well, it is very gratifying, dear Archdeacon, is it not, to find that human nature is permanently one. On the whole, the world is the same world, is it not?
The world is simply divided into two classes. Those who believe the incredible, like the public, and those who do the improbable.
Like yourself?
Yes, I am always astonishing myself. It is the only thing that makes life worth living.
And what have you been doing lately that astonishes you?
I have been discovering all kinds of beautiful qualities in my own nature.
don't become quite perfect all at once. Do it gradually.
Oh, I don't intend to grow perfect at all. At least, I hope I shan't. It would be most inconvenient. Women love us for our defects. If we have enough of them, they will forgive us everything, even our gigantic intellects.
It is premature to ask us to forgive analysis. We forgive adoration. That is quite as much as should be expected from us.
Enter Lord Alfred. He joins Lady Stutfield.
Ah, we women should forgive everything, shouldn't we, dear Mrs. Arbuthnot? I'm sure you agree with me in that.
I do not, Lady Hunstanton. I think there are many things women should never forgive.
What sort of things?
The ruin of another woman's life.
Oh, those things are very sad, no doubt, but I believe there are admirable homes where people of that kind are looked after and reformed. And I think, on the whole, that the secret of life is to take things very, very easily.
The secret of life is never to have an emotion that is unbecoming.
The secret of life is to appreciate the pleasure of being terribly, terribly deceived.
The secret of life is to resist temptation, Lady Stutfield.
There is no secret of life. Life's aim, if it has one, is simply to be always looking for temptations. There are not nearly enough. I sometimes pass a whole day without coming across a single one. It is quite dreadful. It makes one so nervous about the future.
I don't know how it is, Lord Illingworth, but everything you have said today seems to be excessively immoral. It has been most interesting listening to you.
All thought is immoral. Its very essence is destruction. If you think of anything, you kill it. Nothing survives being thought of.
I don't understand a word, Lord Illingworth, but I have no doubt it is all quite true. Personally, I have very little to reproach myself with on the score of thinking. I don't believe in women thinking too much. Women should think in moderation, as they should do all things in moderation.
Moderation is a fatal thing, Lady Hunstanton. Nothing succeeds like excess.
I hope I shall remember that. It sounds an admirable maxim. But I'm beginning to forget everything. It's a great misfortune.
It is one of your most fascinating qualities, Lady Hunstanton. No woman should have a memory. Memory in a woman is the beginning of dowdiness. One can always tell from a woman's bonnet whether she has got a memory or not.
How charming you are, dear Lord Illingworth. You always find out that one's most glaring fault is one's most important virtue. You have the most comforting views of life.
Enter Farquhar, the butler.
Dr. Daubeny's carriage.
My dear Archdeacon, it is only 10:30.
I am afraid I must go, Lady Hunstanton. Tuesday is always one of Mrs. Daubeny's bad nights.
Well, I won't keep you from her. I have told Farquhar to put a brace of partridge into the carriage. Mrs. Daubeny may fancy them.
It is very kind of you, but Mrs. Daubeny never touches solids now. Lives entirely on jellies. But she is wonderfully cheerful. Wonderfully cheerful. She has nothing to complain of.
The Archdeacon exits with Lady Hunstanton.
There is a beautiful moon tonight.
Let us go and look at it. To look at anything that is inconstant is charming nowadays.
You have your looking glass.
It is unkind. It merely shows me my wrinkles.
Mine is better behaved. It never tells me the truth.
Then it is in love with you.
Exit Sir John, Lady Stutfield, Mr. Kelvil, and Lord Alfred.
May I come too?
Do, my dear boy.
Lady Caroline enters, looks rapidly round, and goes off in the opposite direction to that taken by Sir John and Lady Stutfield.